Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And we have before us the Sabbath day, Old Testament, New Testament, number 4. We've covered a lot of it already in the Old Testament. So let's come to the New Testament and we will answer the question, who was Jesus? Because that becomes important in understanding who gave the law. Huh? And remember what we saw last time, that Jesus came to magnify the law and make it glorious. And we'll touch on what that means. That is quite the opposite of doing away or changing or abolishing. Now let's see what the Gospel of John in the very first chapter, in the very first words, tell us about Jesus. Verse 1, in the beginning, what were we reading about in the Old Testament? In the beginning, God made the Sabbath, right? Blessed it, sanctified it, made it holy. Now listen, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. That means the one who brings the Word of God to mankind. And that was the Lord God of the Old Testament, as we will see as this proves here in just a minute. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, a little sidebar here. There is no such thing as the Trinity. There are two. Old Testament, the Lord God, and the Most High God. New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father. You need our new book, brand new book, The Holy Spirit, the Power of God, a scriptural perspective. And this is what you need to understand, because there are so many lies and misinterpretations and false doctrines from Orthodox Christianity that if you want the truth, you write or email or call the office and we will send this book to you at no cost. Now, you need to read that. All of our books are all scripturally based to bring you the truth of what God is saying. Do you want to know God? Do you want to understand about Christ? Do you want to know why you're here, where you're going? Write for our book also, why were you born from a speck of dust to a son of God? Now, stop and think for just a minute. If you don't even know why you were born, what do you really know? Huh? You're just like the blind, walking around with blindfolders. Now notice the next couple of verses here. He was in the beginning with God, and verse 3 tells us all things. Stop and think about that for a minute. All things. Everything that there is, everything that is created, whether visible, whether invisible, whether known or unknown, all things came into being through him. Now, I'm emphasizing this because this is going to be a very important point as we go forward in understanding about the Sabbath. Not even one thing that was created came into being without him. There is no such thing as evolution. And yet, that is taught as fact and can be proven scientifically to be absolutely wrong. And you want to know something? They have never found an actual missing link. The only thing that portrays that there is evolution comes from the artistic characterization of it by artists, and is a figment of the imagination that is repeated in movies and presentations and documentaries and scientific journals as if it were fact. But it is a gigantic, overarching lie. Here is the truth. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Now, that's all in the Bible about when Jesus was born. What did God have to do to become a human being? And why was it that way? And all of that was according to the plan of God and the schedule of God and everything like that. See? Because God is greater than the thoughts of any human being. And you cannot take the days of Satan, the devil, and say, oh, well, Christmas is when Jesus was born. Well, you need to write for our booklet, when was Jesus born? Better still, you write for our Bible, and we're giving them away without cost at the present time. The Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version. And right in the middle of the cover of that Bible is a seal which says New Testament from the Greek, Old Testament from the Hebrew, and a picture of the Bible which gives the quote, your word is the truth. That's what we have in that Bible. We reject all of the traditions of men, and all of the things that they delete, and all of the things that they add, because every one of those things has been noted and known so that the truth is available, and no one has any excuse to say, well, we don't know because it was written by men. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we ourselves beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And grace is not. So you can live any way you want to and say, oh, I'm under grace, so anything I do is fine. No. Grace is so you can have connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let's come here to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Let's see what Jesus himself said concerning the law, concerning the prophets. And if you go back and if you read Luke, the 24th chapter, Jesus didn't do away with the Old Testament. He could have said to all of his apostles, hey, I've been raised from the dead, and now you don't have to keep anything that's in the Old Testament. Huh. If Jesus didn't say that, why do preachers today and in the past say that? Because it's a big lie. I dare them to read these verses. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Do not think. There it is again. Do not think. Meaning, don't let it enter into your mind. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. No, he didn't come to do away with any of it. Now, the animal sacrifices and temple service, those were superseded by the spiritual ministry of Christ, that everyone who has the Spirit of God has direct connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ all the time. Is that not greater than a temple? Is that not greater than the sacrifices? And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is God manifested in the flesh, is the greatest sacrifice of all. And all the animal sacrifices can never be compared to his. And that was the sacrifice to forgive sin. and the sacrifice to bring us to God the Father. So he says, I did not come to abolish the law of the prophets, but to fulfill. And fulfill means bring to the full. Make it complete. For truly I say to you, now listen carefully to this. I want you to think about where are you sitting. I want you to think about what city you live in. I want you to think about that all of this is part of what we call the earth on a globe, right? So he says, truly I say to you, until heaven and earth shall pass away. Question, are the heavens and earth still here? Of course. Listen to what he says concerning the law and apply that to the Sabbath day. And we will see in the New Testament, the Sabbath day is to be kept. All right? For truly I say to you, until the heaven and the earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law until everything has been fulfilled. Now then, read the next verse, because this is very instructive. Therefore, whoever, that means anyone, man, woman, preacher, pope, cardinal, whatever it may be with Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or Orthodox. Therefore, whoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. Now, that's quite an interesting thing, isn't it? What happens when you keep Sunday every week? Huh? You're breaking the law every week. And what happens when you go to services on Sunday and you hear the preacher preach? And he says that the Sabbath has been done away, which is a lie. Notice, whoever shall break one of these least commandments, and the Sabbath is the one they think is the least, and then after that, all of the annual Sabbaths of God, so they can keep their pagan days. What did Jesus say? And shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall practice and teach them. And the Sabbath day says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Right? Is that what you're taught on Sunday? You can't transfer it to another day because no man can change the creation of the heaven and earth, the sun, the moon, the stars. Shall practice and teach them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Huh. What do you know about that? Now let's look at the teachings of the Pharisees. Now they had the law. They had the prophets. But what did they do? You need our book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or Religion of Men, because that is one of the main problems in the New Testament. Because the religious leaders of the Jews created laws. And you can get the book, The Code of Jewish Law. And what they did, they surrounded the commandments of God with so many traditions and works of law that they did that they nullified the commandments of God by their traditions. Now, that's what Christ did away with, their traditions. And that does not mean the Sabbath or the holy days of God. We will see. Verse 20, but I say to you, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, there is no way you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because they changed everything so it fits their traditions. Now, let's answer the question. Let's come to Mark 7. The traditions of the Pharisees And what makes it so difficult for people to understand is that they wrapped all of these around the commandments of God. And they said, all this is the law of Moses, when it was never the law of Moses. So when you read in the New Testament, as we will see a little bit later, when the Pharisees talk about the law of Moses, they mean all of their traditions wrapped around all the laws of God are the things that people need to do. Huh. Is that not the works of men? There was an instant where the Pharisees were looking at the disciples of Jesus Christ and comparing themselves to what the disciples were doing and finding fault and criticizing because they weren't following the traditions of the Jews. Now then, verse 5. For this reason, the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, saying, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now you can go to our series, Judaism, and you can see how they do that. They meticulously pour water over the right hand, and then water over the left hand, and then they do it 3 times, and then they hold their hands up like this.
Hand is completely covered with water. Then we would take the towel, hold our hands up, and say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher kidushanu mitzvotav v'tzivanu al netzilat yadayim. And then we dry the hand. You do not make a blessing while you're drying your hands. That wouldn't be proper. You should focus on the blessing. Shouldn't make a blessing after you dry your hands, because then it's completely over. Rather, you should make the blessing before you dry your hands.
That's just one. You get the book, Code of Jewish Law. But we have a good number of them in our book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or Religion of Men. Verse 6, and he, Jesus, answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you, hypocrite. What does a hypocrite mean? It means a two-faced liar. That's what it means. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Now think about that in relationship to Sunday keeping. Oh, yes. Because people's hearts are so far away from God, they even have drive-through Sunday morning prayer in your car with your golf clubs in the back of your car, and you drive up there and roll down the window, and the preacher sticks his head in there and gives you a little blessing on Sunday on your way to keep your game of golf. That is an abomination and blasphemy to God. In vain. Now that vain means emptiness. There's no substance to it. God doesn't pay any attention to it except to label it as sin. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Is not Sunday a commandment of men? Is not Halloween a commandment of men? Is not Christmas and New Year and Lent and Ash Wednesday and Good Friday and Sunday morning resurrection? Those are all traditions and teachings of men. And someone's going to say, why do you always condemn them? Because God does. Because they have nothing to do with God. They are, as it says in the Old Testament, abominations. Now notice, here's what they do. For leaving the commandments of God, you hold fast the traditions of men, such as the washing of pots and cups, and you practice many other things like this. So whatever it is with Judaism, whatever it is with Protestantism, whatever it is with Catholicism, Islam, Hindu, Buddhist, all of the traditions of all religions, are against God. Then he said, full well do you reject the commandment of God. Think about that. That happens every Sunday when they reject the commandment of God, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we're going to see something very astounding here in just a minute. Full well do you reject the commandment of God, so that you may observe your own tradition. Isn't that what they all do? Don't they all despise the word of God? Oh, they pick out some nice verses that they like and completely misinterpret them. And I've got emails from some of them which say, well, I don't have to do anything. Jesus kept the commandments for me. Where does it say in the New Testament that Jesus keeps the commandments for you? Where does it say in the New Testament that Jesus keeps the Sabbath for you? Where does it say in the New Testament that Jesus is your Sabbath and therefore you are relieved from having to keep the Sabbath day? They don't even know who Jesus is. Now let's come here to Mark, the second chapter. And we will see the same thing come up again. Because on the Sabbath day, as they were walking, coming toward Jerusalem, the disciples were coming along with a field where there was some grain that was still green. But when it was green, they could pluck the grains and they could rub them in their hands and eat it. And of course, this, according to the traditions of the Jews, was harvesting. No, it was not. Jesus answered that. Verse 24. Then the Pharisees said to him, look at them, your disciples. Why are they doing that which is not lawful on the Sabbath days? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was hungry and in need of food, he and those with him? Now, who was David? David was the king. David was the anointed of God. All right? How in the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered into the house of God, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest. And he gave it to those who were with him. Was that denying God? Was that breaking the Sabbath of God? No, that was giving food on the Sabbath day. It was already made. It was already prepared. Now, here's Jesus' answer to them, and I want you to listen to this very carefully, and I want you to think about this. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, or on account of man. There would be no need for a Sabbath day without any human beings. It was made for man, so that man can come to God. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath, meaning man has no authority over the Sabbath day that God created for man. And we find out where we began right back there in Genesis, the second chapter. He sanctified the Sabbath day. He made the Sabbath day holy. And he taught Adam and Eve, showed them his way. Now notice what it says. Therefore, the Son of Man, that is Jesus Christ, is Lord, Kurios, that means Lord, boss, ruler, even of the Sabbath day. Now then, in the Greek, this is very important. This is in what is called the genitive case, meaning Jesus owns the Sabbath day. Now, how is that doing away with the Sabbath day? Huh? How is that replacing the Sabbath day with Sunday? Huh? It's not. He is Lord of the Sabbath day. Where did Jesus preach? In the synagogues on Sabbath day. if he had come to change it to Sunday, what do you suppose the first thing he would have done? He would have said, do not believe the Old Testament. I have come to replace it with Sunday. So all of you here in the synagogue today, on the Sabbath day, you come back here tomorrow and I'll see you. Never said that. When Jesus talked about the laws of God and expanding the meaning of it for the spiritual meaning of it, he did not do away with it. He amplified the meaning of it. He owns the Sabbath day. He was the Lord God of the Old Testament who created the Sabbath day. He is the Son of Man who said that he did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. So there is no reason, no biblical justification whatsoever in the Old Testament or New Testament to say that the Sabbath day has been done away.
When Jesus came, everything changed. Everything changed. You remember that I told you this morning that what he did was not a cleansing of the temple, it was an abolishing of the temple? With all its ceremonies, all its rituals, all its sacrifices, all of its external trappings, the temple, the Holy of Holies, all of it, including the Sabbath. Including the Sabbath. Sabbath observance went away with all the rest that belonged to Judaism.
Now, question, and I'll leave you to ponder this. Why do they just pick on the Sabbath day, mostly? Because Satan knows that if you don't keep the Sabbath, you cannot be in contact with the true God or the true Jesus Christ. So isn't that convenient? We'll move it to Sunday. And the Jews, keeping their own traditions wrapped around the laws of God, say, well, that's just fine with us. And the Muslims, they keep Friday. Nothing in the Word of God that says about Friday.
Dr. Shabir, we have a question here about the Sabbath. So someone is asking, Christians and Jews have the Sabbath. Was the Sabbath abrogated for Muslims?
There's a hadith that says that God prescribed the day to be observed, and the original day was Friday, and that Jews chose it to be Saturday, and Christians made it Sunday. And God has restored the original day for Muslims, which Muslims observe to be the Friday.
Okay. Don't know what the Hindus do, but they keep so many different things to so many different gods. It's unreal. And the Buddhists, they have snake worship. And the Chinese, they have dragon worship. Huh. Those are all of Satan the devil. So I know I've given you a lot to think over, and I know that I have been very emphatic in what I have said, but I want you to know that the Word of God is even more emphatic in its fulfillment and its meaning to everyone than anything I could possibly generate out of my speaking, which could even come close to comparing the magnitude and power of the Word of God if people don't obey it. So be sure to go to our other website, truthofgod.org, and there we have many detailed sermons and messages to help answer questions and download all the material that I have mentioned to you. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.